Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a rising comedy star who I had the delight of meeting whilst in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where they were debuting a new show called Flat Shoes in the Club. Such a good show title, such a relatable comedian, so please welcome Emmy Essien.
Hello.
Hello. It's so lovely to see you. We were reminiscing off air about how the festival was wonderful, but we were also delighted it's over. And neither of us got ill. Like, we both managed to get some rest. And you still have so much energy, which I really respect.
Do you know what? I think it is generally just how people describe me as, like, I can feel extremely tired and I'm probably even more hyper. That's the downside, I think, is that I can't seem to, it's the other way around of me. Like, the more hyper I am, I'm probably really tired. So
I do relate to that. I'm a big extrovert. So when I'm exhausted, as long as I'm around people, I'll keep going up and up. The catch is I make less and less sense.
Oh, I mean, that's a given. I'm not even sure if that's to do with my tiredness. That's just where my thoughts are everywhere, you know. But you know what? I'm actually an introvert and people always think I'm an extrovert. And I'm like, because I think the confusion is that people think if you're introverted, you must be shy. And I'm like, no, that's actually two different things. But I very much am like, I can do the social thing, but there's a point where I'm like, I completely lock off. And that's where people kind of get confused. They're like, are you okay? What's happening? I'm like, no, I'm just done. I'm depleted. I kind of really enjoy that solitude as well. So yes, I'm a introverted extrovert or something like that.
I don't even get into that. Like, that's when it gets, you can be an introvert or an extrovert. It gets too complicated at that point. But no, I have heard of it being a thing. And so for you, tell me some top line thoughts about dating. Where are you at with it? Because we, off air, I was like, so dating, and you gave a big sigh just like that one.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying to you before, I'm like, I don't think I even know what a date is. How to even define a date. Let's just start there. I'm not really sure what a date is, because I feel like, you know, discussing this with friends and the consensus is it's two people who go out together who have an interest in each other. And I'm like, but then what does that mean? Because, like, I love all, like, my male friends that I hang out with. Is that a date when we go out? Sometimes they pay, sometimes I pay, sometimes we split. What defines a date? So I feel like there's no clear definition in my brain. I think I actually have this old school way of being like, a date means that somebody had to ask me out and said, like, hey, would you like to go out to dinner? Would you like to go out for drinks? I've never really had that. It's always been kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll do this on that day. Or we'll catch up on this day. Or we'll do, you know, it's just been a very casual way of asking. Or sometimes it's me who suggests it and people say, oh, yeah, you were on a date. Like, if you're like, you know, you're putting it on your socials and stuff. I'm like, is it a date though? But then I guess I go on dates all the time. So I don't know. What is a date? I don't know.
I love this. Yeah, I kind of relate to this, but I also love it as like a strong opening sentiment on a dating podcast to be like, but what is a date? Let's start there.
What is it? I don't know. So when I think about dating now, I'm like, I still say, like, I don't think I've really been on a date. Maybe when I was very young, but like definitely not now. I just kind of hang out with people.
I think this is part of it, though. We may be kind of encouraged to think of it as this formal thing, and that's maybe partly a, like, a media portrayal that we think there's going to be all this kind of fluff around it, and actually it is people hanging out that are interested in each other. But like you, if I define it that broadly, that's like me hanging out with most of my mates, because I spend a lot of time like one-on-one with them, or maybe I go stay with them in a different city or whatever. And sometimes I do fancy them. So who knows?
Right. This is it. Oh my God. I'm so someone who connects to me, because every time I try and explain this to people, they're like, no, that's weird. Or no, you both like each other and you're in denial. And I'm like, oh, sometimes it's not like that. It's all different scenarios and stuff. But, and a lot of the time I think as well, people say it to, friends say it to me, because a lot of the like male friends I'll go out with, we're usually both single at the time. So that's why it's like, oh, you're definitely on a date. And I'm like, it's not really a date though, or is it? So I kind of
feel like there's something to this, where there's something organic about this way of thinking about it, where often like so much of the pressure that can kind of undo us and make us, you know, nervous and act weird on a date is the fact that we've got it burned in our brain. This is a date. I've got to be my best self. I've got to be attractive at every moment. Like, you know?
When I'm on those dates that aren't dates to me, I am very much myself. So thinking about a few instances that would have been considered a date, and I'm there like, okay, as my friend would say, my cousin said to me years ago once, just, you know, keep your crazy under wraps because they don't know you yet. And I'm like, okay, so I can't fully be myself. So I think as well that pressure of if someone said like, let's go on a date, I'll be like, oh God, what do I wear? How is this going to go? You know, because I'm one thing I hate is small talk. I cannot stand it. I think it's my anxiety. I can't stand the weird kind of like, not just the typical British kind of like, oh, what's the weather like? Actually, really, you know, when you're kind of like, so what music do you like? And so where are you from? And all that stuff. I'm really like, let's go deep in. Like, talk to me about your fears, your ambitions, like, what? When was the last time you cried? All that kind of stuff. I'm straight in there. God, I'm intense, aren't I?
I mean, we've already crossed off quite a few things that supposedly you shouldn't be doing. But yet, I can be like that. I really try not to be anymore.
Same.
But part of the excuse I'm going to give you is that I have, like, issues with my memory. And I realised not long ago that a big part of, like, how I remember things is whether or not they're tied to emotions. And right, so, like, okay, stuff like how many siblings somebody has, mm-hmm, really, really unlikely to be remembered. But if you tell me that you had some feud with your sibling or you only like one of them, then I'm going to remember this too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes so
like,
much sense.
Give me an emotive story about it. And so I think that's like part of why the small talk feels like dangerous, because I'm shit at it, and B, I'm not going to remember, and then you're going to be offended in 6 months right, when I'm like, oh, I didn't know you had another sister for me to meet. I thought I'd met all your family.
My gosh. Oh, I hear you. That's so interesting, actually, the whole thing about memory as well and how we remember stories and stuff, because I always forget. I can forget your door number, but I can tell you exactly how to get to your street. I just can never remember the door number. It's so weird. Those are the kind of things that, like, the really small details I forget, but the big thing behind it I do. So I wonder what that is. There's probably a study on it somewhere that we haven't read yet.
Well, to continue getting better, I do have another thing I want to pick up on, because you were saying about, like, the things that you go right in and you're really yourself. And I do wonder sometimes in kind of this idea of dating culture, if that holds us back from really connecting with people, because we can get so caught up in the rules. And some of them, like, you know, maybe don't ask a guy when he last cried on a first date. Maybe that.
I mean, you know, when we get into a conversation and stuff and you're just like, you know, people are like, ask me anything. I'm like, really? You know, because it's something that we used to do in an acting class as well, where you do like a hot seating exercise and there's 10 questions. And you're hot seating the character, so you ask really random ones like that, and I always come out with the most random stuff because I'm just interested to see how that person will react as that character. So I suppose it's a little bit of a weird subconscious experiment I'm doing, but it's more just because sometimes when I'm a bit, dare I say it, bored, and like people are just kind of saying stuff, I'm like, oh, this is boring, like I want to find out a bit more about like you and like your energy and your vibe and stuff like that. So yeah, I think definitely I would say over the last few years I have really censored myself. Like I was so much more like that when I was younger. And as you get older and, you know, someone that has anxiety, so sometimes something that someone could say can stick with me for a while, you know, like, oh, that was really cringe you did that. And I never knew that till then. So all of a sudden now it's like, I've got to be careful of what I say and stuff. So I would say I'm at a point now where I'm finding the balance of coming back to being comfortable with who I am, but also not, you know, censoring myself too much at, you know, at the same time. So
right, because you don't want it to go too far the other way where it's a complete performance. And I wonder sometimes if people almost look for that, because I've definitely been on the other side of it where you go away from a date and you're like, what were the signs that they liked me? And you start really analysing it.
Yeah.
And like I always kind of insist with people, the first date is about whether or not you want to go on a second date. Like that should be the only pressure you put on yourself.
Interesting.
And yet we can be like, this stranger, they need to have given 3 clues that they like me. And I don't even know if I like them.
You don't even know if you like them, but I just need to see. Because I also think when I'm thinking about dates I've been on, they're not usually like, again, it's probably me and thinking about how movies are, like the first date is almost the first real conversation you're having. A lot of the time with people, I've had long conversations with them. So it's probably the first time we've got to meet up, because I'm always very busy. People are always very busy these days, aren't they? You know, doing 20 different million jobs, so sometimes it's just not feasible to be able to just go out with somebody like when you meet them, wherever you meet them the next week. I might be speaking to them for like 2 weeks or something, and then it's like, oh, we're finally getting to meet up for that proper date type thing, which for me then feels like, how can this be a date? Because it's not a first date, because we've already been speaking. Again, not defining this very well, but yeah, so it's like that, it's not really a first date, it's that first encounter with them feels like I now know them a lot more than what I think some people have inhibitions about on a first date, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, how do I come across? It's like, you've been speaking, you've been chatting to each other for quite a while. So mm-hmm. at this stage, you should be a little bit more comfortable, you know, or maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. I'm like, yeah, because I am very much like, I wouldn't say I'm a complete open book, but I would say that I'm just very truthful and honest, and I just want that from someone else. So however you are, I've definitely been out with people who haven't, like hung out with people who haven't really given me much conversation because they've been quite shy, or they're just very like, you know, introverted or whatever. But I still like real authenticity, you know, when you're talking to someone, when you're getting to know them, like, yeah. And I just think you can't do that with just boring small talk. You really have to like dig deep and be comfortable with that person, you know?
I love this contrast. I love you talking yourself out of every date you've ever been on being a date. Meanwhile, the people you've gone on dates with are probably walking away being like, that's the most intense date I've ever been on.
That was deep.
Yeah, I've never been interrogated like that. When was the last time I cried? With that in mind, you have a dating story in mind, but we'll see if you think it's a dating story or not.
Okay. Now that I'm talking about how I am, because I'm thinking of...
No, just tell me the story.
Just tell you the story. Okay. I'm going to tell you the story. And I feel like
if you get deep, I'll get deeper and we'll be here.
We'll be here. It's a weird story about how I feel that this just speaks to how I think I don't really know what a date is. So I'm calling it an accidental date story. So this was years ago. My friend and I went out clubbing, and we would always do this a lot of the time. And she decided to choose this club. It was one of those, I'd never been to it. It was a club that was quite known. Don't ask me what it was. One of those Kikiki Mahiki, you know, those titles of clubs that are like whatever. And it was like, yeah, this is the club to go to. Let's go. So we went. I got this in South Kensington, very posh, you know, Chelsea area, and majority sea of white people. And just me and my friend who's mixed race. So we're just there like really sticking out. They were all, this was like cold. It was in the winter. We had our like going out jackets on. I had my little tote bag with my flat shoes inside there, you know, ready at the end of the night. And we were just looking super casual. You know, we're used to like raving up in Dalston at like Visions and places like that. And these lot was dressed scantily clad, like really posh, expensive stuff. So already we were just in the queue. The queue was really long. Oh God, I remember that day. And we just were like, should we leave? Should we leave? And there was this guy standing on the side. He wasn't even in the queue. And he looks at us, and it's a black guy. So I'm like, oh, he's just looking because he can see this, basically, like he can point us out in the crowd. And then he comes up to us and he's like, oh, do you guys want to get inside? And we're like, yeah, because we could hear like things were happening, like some people getting turned away, etc. He's like, you know, you're not going to get in standing there coming with me. And we were like sort of debating it. We're like, should we? And she's like, we're just not going to get in. Like, what if we move out of the queue and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, long story short, we got out of the queue and we got in with him. And obviously the queue's, you know, a usual club queue. They're doing like checking your passes, all that kind of stuff. And as soon as he pops in, his name was Bio. Oh, Bio's here. Yeah, Bio's here. Come on. Who are you with? I'm with these two. So we just rocked up like we were celebrities, walked down into this club. And I couldn't believe it. It was like, there was no searching. There was nothing. I remember saying to her, I was like, she could have a gun in my bag. And she was like, shut up. Like, we rocked in. Because honestly, I'm just, like I said, I'm used to those clubs where
Do you ever get those thoughts though, when you're like, I should have brought something?
Honestly, I swear to God, I was like, that was my first thought. I was like, how are we in this place? And like, no one has searched. That was all I could think of. No one has searched. No one's asked for my ID. It was insane because we were with Bio. So we walked in. There's different rooms in the club. It's a really swanky club. I think people at the time knew it just wasn't my scene, because I feel like when I've mentioned this to people, they're like, oh, that club that all these like famous really wealthy people go to. Mm-hmm. So there was a table, there was a couple of friends, and he was like, yeah, move over. So we sat down, and so then me and him started talking, we started connecting. That's what I thought. We're both Nigerian, and we were just talking about culture and stuff. I could tell he was completely a different world from me, like he'd gone to like private school and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we just felt like celebrities, like drinks were flowing, everyone was just sort of dancing. And so I thought, yeah, we're really connecting. And she was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm a third wheel, because the routine is, when we usually go out, she is the more desirable one. You know, she's this light-skinned girl, she's more palatable. I'm always the friend that's hanging out with her. And I would say that around that time, she was very much really looking for a partner. So every time we'd go out, it did become a little bit cumbersome, because it would always be like, oh yeah, let's move. We'll be having a good time in a spot dancing. And if she wasn't interested in the guys around there, she'd want to move. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a bit of an energy of that he wasn't interested in her this time. So she wanted to get up and go. So I was getting into this conversation with this guy that I was like, oh, you know. And then so we got up, and then we were going to go get a drink at the bar. And then someone went, oh no, that's Bio's girl. And then we just got free drinks. So all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm his girl, I'm his date. So I got in my head, I was like, oh, okay, so I think he likes me. And I think my younger, very younger self started to get really flattered. And I was like, yeah, so I'm with him. And so we're having drinks. It was great. And it was just a wild night. We were walking from room to room. The music was just awful, that really kind of club bangy stuff that just has no sound, no lyrics, nothing. And then he came back up to us talking to me. And he's really, again, I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to go somewhere, whatever. So we're really just talking, like, we've been speaking for ages and she's feeling a bit left out. And then she's like, oh, I want to go to the toilet, because I knew she was getting a bit sort of like feeling like the third wheel. He goes, no, don't go to that toilet, go to the secret toilet. And we were like, what? Took us to this secret room. There was this, it didn't look like, it was just a wall. You pushed it and it was a secret door. I mean, this was years ago. This was a gender neutral toilet. So they were well ahead of their time. We, however, didn't know this. So we just walked in. There was like a few of people, there was men and women. So we were like, oh, so we saw quite a few women towards the front. So we just went over to the front. And then we just heard this voice go, how dare you get back to the back of the line? And we were like, oh my God. And we turned around. It was Spike Lee. Spike Lee was like, get to the back of the line. We were like shaking. Because first of all, here is this big, massive Hollywood director in this random club.
I would run away.
We got to the back of the line and he just gave us a look and just stood in the queue. And we did, because first we didn't, there was no such thing as gender neutral toilets then. So we didn't know this was a private toilet that people use. It was a really spanky toilet, whatever, but we could not believe it. We were like, oh my God. So then we come out and then I'm sitting on the bench and we're sitting there going, I can't believe that happened. Can't believe that happened. And then you never guess when she looked over and she said, oh my God, guess who was in the doorway of another one of the rooms? You'll just never guess.
No.
Prince Harry.
What?
Prince Harry. This is the type of club.
What is it? Look, you're doing better than me. Like, you are a wonderful tourist in this environment. I would have gone long ago. I would have been like, this is not meant for people like me.
Honestly, it was such, I think because we were pumped with alcohol at this point. Mm. Otherwise, I was like, oh my God, what do we do? Like, should we take a picture, whatever? We didn't, it's only now I realise how this is the type of club I would have never gone in without this guy. And then Bio comes over and he's like, what's going on? We're like, oh my God, Prince Harry's over there. And he was like, yeah, he comes here all the time. We're like, he goes, do you want to go meet him? She'll go meet him. And I was like, what, you know him? He goes, yeah, we all went to Eton together. And I was like, what? What did my friend say? Emmy, no, are you crazy? Hear what she said. She's this mixed race girl. Mm-hmm. Hear what she said. Emmy, are you crazy? He's probably not allowed to talk to black girls. Let's not, because there's Secret Service around. They'll shoot us. That's literally what she said to me. So that got me, that kind of, it's not my world. And there was, because there was a guy standing next to him. She's like, I guarantee you that's someone from the SS. Like, if we go and speak to them, what if this happens? I say SS.
Wrong country, wrong time, wrong everything.
Wrong country. Someone from the SS. Whoa. you're really in trouble now, aren't you?
Oh, clearly that Nazi costume he got caught in, there was a bit more going on there.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. No, stop it. Seriously.
It's fine. So we decided, it's fine. They don't know what date we're recording this on.
I'm going to be like, yeah. It's just, I think the irony of that now is that, like, we thought he wasn't, because he kept on looking at her. So I was like, I think he's interested in you. And Bio was like, he just thought we were really, at this point, he was like, do you want me just to go and introduce you? Like, it was no big deal. Like, this is somebody you just went to school with. And I'm like, no. And then I was like, no, that's fine. Cool, whatever. And so we left that. And then I can't remember what happened. There were probably a couple of other things. But back to me and him. So I was like, do you know what? That's fine. Let's go and just hang out with him and whatever. And then we went back to the table and most people had kind of cleared away. And I was like, oh, where's Bio? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I think he's gone. So we just sat there at the table. And we were like, oh God, I think he's gone. And we were like, do we now have to pay for this? Like, what's happening? We just didn't know. And then someone said, oh, no, that's fine. Bio's cleared the table. It's all good. And I was like, do you know where he is? And they were like, he's gone. And that was that. We sat there at the table for like 5 minutes and we're like, now is the time to go because this is extremely embarrassing. And I remember leaving thinking, I really thought that me and him, like that whole, I was his girl, like I'm on a date with him, like I'm chilling with him. I don't know if that's something he just does, but this is just the epitome of me where I'm like, I think something's happening and then I'm completely wrong. I just read that completely wrong. He could have just been a really nice guy. I just thought, oh, these two girls, they're not going to get in. They can come to my table. He might do that every other week, bring someone in. I have no idea. But he just left and he didn't want my number, nothing. He was just gone. Didn't even say bye.
Well, you didn't chat to his mate Harry, so I think that's what...
Oh, mate. Do you know, it's so funny because I'm thinking like, you know, you overanalyze every situation. And at the time I was like, were we just really immature? Were we this, were we that? I don't know. But I feel like that world is so not my world. So I don't know if that's just a thing people do. They just hang out with people for the night and that's that, and then they're done. And yeah, it was
a, it does that, sound that, a bit like that. It sounds like this guy's got a routine that he's there every week.
And know, the door people know his name, like he knows quite a lot of people in there and stuff. But
yeah, and he's hanging out.
Weird, though, to invite someone and then that's it.
He's plucking people from the queue to have a pretty circle of women around him to show off to his mates.
Didn't even think about that. Oh my God, you're probably right. Yeah, but we look so out there compared to everyone else.
I mean,
that could have been it though.
That might be worse. Like that might be part of it, that he's like, him introducing you was about his ego and actually nothing to do with you.
Oh, Bobby, you've crushed my little heart.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Yep.
But you're probably right.
I do kind of love it though, the one dating story you've brought me. And I'm like, actually, I'm not sure this one was a date.
You see now my conundrum? I don't know what a date is. So yeah. That's probably, because that's the one that sticks out in my mind, because we're like, how did we see Harry and Spike Lee in the same night, in the same club, on the same day? Like, it makes no sense.
That is wild. But no, that would spin me out. That would haunt me for some time.
It was years ago, but that is the one that, it was just such a crazy night. But the funny part for me was me thinking, because someone just said bio's girl, I thought I was his girl for the night. So I thought that meant there could be a future. Nope, my little Disneyland. Fairy tale was very quickly crushed. It's the look of the person who was clearing the table. It's like, yeah, he's got, you know, kind of look like he's gone. Like, what did you expect, sort of thing? You've had your time. Oh, God. So embarrassing.
That is wild.
So, yeah, I don't know how many stories you had those many type of people in one night, but that's probably the hardest non-date story.
I'm sort of slightly not even sure how to respond to it, because I'm like, there's so many questions. What a wild night. But also, like, your Disney fantasy includes you just being, like, picked without your consent. It's just like, I've heard off the waitress that I'm his girl, so I guess we're married now. I must have missed that Disney movie.
You know how funny that is? Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Listen, when I was younger, the fantasies...
What a time. Well, okay, tell me this. So I know that you're very close to your brother and mm-hmm. you're very involved in each other's work. You're kind of like role models for each other and you kind of, mm-hmm. he's somebody that you really respect the opinion of. What are his thoughts on your dating life?
Ooh. Interesting. Do you know, it's a funny one with him and my family in particular. I never really, because I've always had these weird kind of like non-dates or dates that don't really go anywhere a lot of the time, I'm quite funny about bringing people home mm-hmm. in that sense of like introducing. So any of my male friends that I have dated that my brother's met, simply because we spend a lot of time together, probably less so now because he's so busy, but definitely when we were younger we were literally like twins, always around each other. So all of his partners, girlfriends, I would know because they would always know about his little sis. And with my male friends, because I was a bit more funny with them, there was always a little bit of an embarrassment of like bringing someone and then all of a sudden it's like, where's that guy? So I kind of stopped doing that early on, but sometimes it was just inevitable with the way that like we were always together. So I stopped introducing them as anything like a partner or anything or like a person I'm seeing. I just like, oh, this is my friend so-and-so. And it's always like years later of like, oh, that guy that you were with or that you were dating or you were whatever. And I was like, how would you know that? He had a sixth sense about, and I don't know if it's now I think about body language and energy. I thought I was being very like coy about certain things, but he's got it right a number of times over the years where he's like, oh, that guy you were dating. I'm like, how did you know I was dating? It's like, well, obviously. But also in the same breath, he doesn't really go into detail. He kind of has that respect of like, I'm not going to ask you questions. And he's certainly not the kind of brother that's like, I need to meet, you know, what are your intentions type of energy. It's not that. He's just very much like, yeah, cool. Who's this person? That's that. And yeah, so... You know, and he's seen a couple of heartbreaks as well when he's caught me, because we've lived together a couple of times. So there's been once or twice where I've had a heartbreak up and he's sort of seen it and he's just been really surprised seeing me quite break down like that, because I kind of put on this facade of like, yeah, yeah, it's no big deal. It's this, it's that. And then I'm like crushed, you know, with a sad breakup or something like that. So that's been, it's been an interesting dynamic. We're not too, on my end, I'm not too kind of like open and like, completely telling him the ins and outs of everything. I don't know. There is still that kind of like, oh, you're my brother though, you know?
Yeah, no, I do get that. And I think part of that ends up being cultural, right? That my understanding is there's a certain seriousness of like relationships in Nigerian culture where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. but who is this person to you? Like, let's get them categorized yeah. quickly. Are they yeah. marriage material? Have they met the family? Oh, like, everything absolutely. Has its rules. And I think there's certain parallels with Irish culture in that it's like, you know, it's yeah, often joked yeah. about, like, we don't really have a dating culture here so much as, like, somebody you keep bumping into and, you know, snogging on a drunken night out. And then you're like, well, I guess we're together now. Like, enough people have so seen funny. Us together that I guess
together, so,
that yeah. the community has assumed we are. So there it is. You
so
know?
There we are. Yeah. Oh, God, that's very Nigerian culture, especially when you go back to Nigeria. Like, my God, that was very much years ago when I went back to Nigeria with friends. And it was a friend who was with a fiance then, but husband now. And so when all of us were hanging out together, you almost had to pair up with people. So I just got lumbered with the guy who did the drinks at every party, who was basically an alcoholic. And we just, and then there was
I was about to say that's yeah. a good connection until you added that, but
I mean, it's a normal thing over there, but it was like, if you think about it, he was always like waking up like half drunk or whatever. But it's a big party culture. So, you know, it's one of those functioning alcoholics. But yeah, again, another weird accidental like date thing where he took me back to his village because we were just on a trip, and it's obviously a completely different, even from the city to going mm-hmm. into the village, and like immediately I looked just different, not just because of the accent, whatever, it's just how I dress compared to how they are. It's completely different. I haven't been there around there for years. It's similar to where my mum grew up. And everyone was just like, it was kind of like all the aunties and the relatives outside were sort of greeting me and stuff like that. And they were just like sort of saying it was half broken English, half Yoruba. He was sort of translating. And I got the gist. I was like, they all think we're sort of together. And I was like, oh, okay. And obviously, because I'm in a completely foreign environment to what I'm used to, and I'm just with him. It was really lovely. It was really welcoming. But there was all this talk about like courting and when you guys are going to be together and stuff. And I was just like, huh? And then basically he became obsessed with me throughout the whole trip. So because it's like, how do I get myself in these situations? And I was having a bit of a hard time because I was with my best friend at the time out there, and she was with her fiance. So we were sort of clashing a bit because, you know, he was moving out there. So there was a whole thing going on there. So I kind of clung on to just hanging with this guy, but that now meant that we accidentally got together. Nothing was really going on, but we just accidentally got together. So yeah, he was sort of like, when you should move here, you know, I'll come meet you in Dubai. Like, I'll do this and I'll do that. I was like, oh, I don't know. And he really carried it on for a few months after when I came back. And I was like, is this for real? And I remember speaking to friends about this after, and they who really understand it a lot more. They're like, you went to his village, you met his family, like you did all the rituals. Like, what do you expect? Like, you're basically together. And I was like, really? That's not what I thought. I just was, you know, just hanging out.
Yeah, well, that's it. You were avoiding your mate the whole time, and he was seeing right. that as like, oh, she can't stop spending time with me.
Yeah. Exactly, because I was like, okay, you know, I think because the one time when me and the fiance had an argument, so it was just an awkward situation. So they went to do their thing, we all went to a bar, and that's when he was like, oh, do you want to come here with me? Do you want to come there? So obviously I was like, okay, great, someone who's going to still look after me and just hang with me. And yeah, as I'm saying this now, I'm really seeing a pattern of where I can get myself into situations.
You are actually such a vibe. Like, I love this kind of way that you move through the world where, like, you're a constant, you're just hanging out, you're just vibing, and then the rest of the world is trying to figure you out. What am I to her? What is she up to? Is this a date? Like,
the
vagueness kind of forces. I mean, this almost explains why I kept bumping into you in Edinburgh, because you're just there. You're just existing.
Just there.
The world moves around you.
I like that energy, actually. Yeah, I'm just out here. Just, I mean, I like to say that I've definitely, this was a lot when I was younger, I feel like. So we are talking, I'm a bit more well-rounded now. And I think where I think about with relationships now, especially I've been doing a lot of work about this in therapy, and I love doing this type of work because it really exposes you to, it's not fun. It's not exactly like exciting, but anyone who knows, if you've ever been in therapy, like the reward you get from it when you really start to get that reset and completely discover the truth in you, that's what's been happening. And I think I've understood that I have relationships, the ones that are like solid, that's been my boyfriend, that's been my partner. It's been very whirlwind. Mm-hmm. So it's been like we've met and we just instantly bonded. And I thought like, yeah, again, this kind of like slightly probably, you know, my love of Disney, this kind of fairy tale, like, okay, this must be it, you know. And I think there's a lot of talk now about people now, you know, we get all these sort of buzzwords now, people start to understand what things mean, and there's a lot of talk about trauma bonding and stuff. But I think that is something I've definitely done with a lot of people in the past, particularly even the last partner I was with, the connection that we had. And actually a lot of it was just, we were just bonding about some of the like really hard stuff we've gone through, both culturally and, you know, literally, and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think now I'm at a point where it's like, I actually just want to pause for a second when I meet people and stop envisioning like, okay, who is this person to me, all of that kind of stuff, and just really begin to like enjoy and understand and get to know people, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true, because that can be the catch, right? That you are kind of moving through the world. And I mean, this happens for a lot of comics where there is this consciousness of, does the room like me? Because that's a big part of like a skill honed through your work. And so then it's like, okay, they do. And then you're looking for, at the same time, that kind of safe space of, who can I be myself with? Where can I take down the mask? And like, I'm enjoying it and I'm being myself, but I also feel pressure to like be likable and crack jokes. And you also have an acting background. So that must all combine. And then you come across someone that has similar background to you, similar vulnerable pressure points. You're asking maybe certain questions to get to those. Mm. And then you're like, okay, this guy could be a safe space because we have the same shit. So we can maybe be ourselves.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's about the safe space for me. It's never really about like, oh yeah, this is the one, because I kind of have a bit of a weird, not weird, but I would say I'm not exactly as fluid as most people are in terms of like, oh yeah, this, you know, husband, wife, and that's that. It is more about like, who can I create that connection with? Who makes me feel safe? Who makes me feel comfortable? Because there has been a lot of like playing up, you know, even if we think back to that story in South Kensington, I didn't even want to go to that club. It was something that she wanted to do. She always wanted to level up in the clubs that we were going to because we weren't meeting the right type of guys that she felt she wanted to be around. And those instances made me always have to put on a bit more of a, you know, okay, I've got to dress a certain way, I've got to do my hair in a certain way, you know, all of that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that I kind of went through. So I think that fed into the way that, you know, I navigated relationships for quite a few many years about how comfortable can I be around this person? Because I don't really know what they're thinking, you know, that's why I want to get to the truth in you so we can really just be our authentic selves, you know, and I can let my crazy out.
But then you do that and you realise like, oh, this person also has a lot of shit going on. And
and then you're like, wait, hold on, you're trumping my shit. Where are we going to go from here? And then, yeah, there you are. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot. I've definitely been there where you can, you can seek out that safe space in somebody else, but that's not the solution. Like, that doesn't solve your shit. That just means there's two of you just kind of treading water together. And then you kind of take the relationship into the world and you're like, I don't think this holds up.
I don't think this is feeling a bit toxic. Perhaps we should, you know, you start to realise that you sort of hold on because that connection that you had in the beginning, you're kind of craving for it. And you think, I'm learning now, was it a connection? Was it just because we both understood each other, you know? I'm not saying that you can't connect with somebody on the same kind of issues that were, you know, traumatic or in your life, but I think you have to understand the difference between that being the sole purpose, the sole basis of your relationship being that, you know, you both went through some hardships, so you're both going to, because then are you just looking for that person to lift you up out of it, or are you looking to grow with that person, you know? And that, I think, is the big difference.
So, yeah, well, I think there can be something kind of innately isolating about that. You find someone that's on a similar kind of lonely island to you, and you're like, okay, well, we'll both chill together. And somebody that understands your trauma is a great kind of selling point for a therapist. Maybe not necessarily the number one thing for a partner, you know?
I love that. It's a great sense of therapist, yeah? Oh, they love it. Oh, trauma bonding. Perfect. Let's get into the session. Go.
Oh, yes, I can relate to this. My version of that was finding people that were safe in terms of like, I didn't have to be vulnerable with certain people because I had a pattern of going for really wild out there choices of people to date where like we weren't compatible or like we lived in different places or just a million reasons why it probably wouldn't work out. And then
was that like a subconscious decision, you reckon?
Yeah No, that was definitely a subconscious pattern, but then it kind of like did keep me, you know, emotionally safe in air quotes, because the things never came together in the first place, and so I never had to be fully vulnerable.
Yeah, you never had to be fully there.
I never had to challenge my kind of avoidant nature. And instead, when it didn't work out, I was like, oh, it probably wasn't going to anyway.
Yeah. Smart. Mm-hmm. Gosh, our little anxiety brains do a lot to protect us and tell us we're all okay.
It's wild. It's wild shit. And so before we start to wrap up then, tell me this. In fact, God, we need to wrap up soon. All right, last thing. I just looked at the time. I was like, oh, you're so easy to chat to. Now, something to segue onto. In the pursuit of trying to, like, make better choices, set better boundaries, do the stuff we're learning in therapy, I know something you've talked about in your work is, in fact, you've got a whole bit about it in your show, like giving out your number and like the times when you do that because it's asked for versus like that person actually meets your standards or you should have better boundaries or whatever. So talk to me about that. What's that journey? How's it going?
About giving out my number. Mm. Yeah, that's interesting.
This is where I'm looking for an upswing at the end of the episode. To be like, okay, and now here's a way in which I've grown. You're just going to turn around and be like, oh, so I just give out a fake number now, so it's solved.
No. We've gone past that. I would say that I'm much more, because I used to be such a big people pleaser, everything was like, yeah, go ahead, and then like really get myself in awkward situations. I think I've become a lot more confident with being okay with not giving out my information. And also because there would always be a disclaimer like, oh, I've got a boyfriend or this or that, but I've actually become very confident with saying like, no, thank you in certain situations, depending on how it is. And my thing now is I'm always like, if I meet someone and I'm not sure, or partly because I don't want to go straight in there, I kind of say, oh yeah, you know, hit me up on the socials, because it's so much easier. They can sort of follow you. And if they want to have a chat, they can message you, and then you can decide if you want to take it there. I feel like a number is very personal. It's very, you know what I mean? It's very like, that's where we're going to have long, deep conversation. I'm going to find it harder to avoid you if I need to. So I think it gives me a little bit of a barrier just to say like, okay, yeah, I don't mind, you know, I'm out there in the social media world, so it's open to everyone. So it's open to you. But right now, let's just give it a pause before we sort of say, yeah, take my number down. It's kind of like, you know, a little bit of I'd say it's just a little bit of a nice little boundary for me that I set, without having to feel like, yeah, sure, just it's just a number. As I used to think when people used to say, why do you give it out? And I'm like, oh, because it's such an awkward thing. Like, I don't quite know how to say no. Or, I mean, I'm from Peckham. I grew up where people literally call your number right standing there. So you kind of felt a little bit threatened to be like, okay, you know, you can't make a fake number up. No, legit, that would happen a lot of the times growing up. So. And actually, sometimes people do it now, because, you know, casually, if you're sort of exchanging a number with somebody and they say, oh, yeah, I'm just going to one ring you now. So I always kind of have that thing of like, I don't really want to lie anymore and be like, oh, I'm with someone or whatever. So I just say, oh, yeah, do you know what? If you just add me on Instagram or whatever, you know, that is a little bit of my boundary that I've set to say, let's see how it goes from there on the social media.
Yeah, no, you're right. And people can be real intense in that way. I had that as an experience recently where like somebody called me, but I was genuinely giving them my number. Like, the building we were in just had no signal, so like the call didn't go through, and then they like and then they asked for my phone to put their number in just to be like really sure. And I was like, it was fine, because in context I was like, oh, that's actually quite cute, like they really want to connect. This is kind of like,
fine.
Yeah, so that was okay. But no, I hear you. Like, sometimes,
you know, like, sometimes, like,
also an intense move. Like, if I hadn't have been into it, that's a lot. Yeah. So I like this. I like this for you. And so we'll start wrapping up with our rules of the game. So do you have something you'd recommend in dating or relationships to try and live by?
Well, obviously, everyone should just live how I live in this world, which is just moving around and letting everyone circulate around you. But no, on a serious note, I think in terms of dating, I would say it's really important, thinking about all the work I've done and stuff, it's really important to know what your like boundaries are. That's just so important, even not just romantic relationships, relationships in general, because I think that's where we all fall short, where we confuse kind of like compromising with actually like going against something that doesn't, you know, sit right with you. And then it just doesn't bode well. So I think knowing what your boundaries are and kind of sticking to them, whether it's, so there's certain things that you can sort of maybe like move and shift on, but there's some things that, you know, we all have our own individual things about what we feel we can and can't take because of how we are, you know. sometimes it could be something as simple as like language and swearing. You know, I've got friends who don't like swearing at all, and we have that boundary where I would never F and blind to them. And then there's other people I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, all the time, as a, you know, casually. And it's little things like that. It's just kind of like understanding and letting people know, because once you let people know and they still want to overstep, that's the first red flag to let you know that that's not a person that is about trying to respect you. That's not a person that wants to get to know you and mm-hmm. work with you and, you know, grow with you. So I think if you set your boundaries and let people know, I need to give them a list straight away, you know, don't need to get all intense stuff in there, but, you know, just letting them know as and when, and that's where you'll really gauge and see who's that person who's right for you when you're dating someone.
I love that, using it as a way to test, like, their level of respect. I think that's very handy. Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's my little tip. Yeah.
if you can't find any red flags, go searching for some. Create some situations where they can bring them to you. Yeah, that's good. And I would add, kind of circling back to what you talked about with this story in the fancy club, I think it's really important to be aware of like the context of when you meet somebody, because I've definitely mm-hmm. been that person where I've been in environments I didn't belong in, and someone is nice to me, and then like my feelings are disproportionate. Because within a context where I don't belong, this person saw me and connected with me genuinely, right? And then that all makes sense in context, but then you've got to be like, okay, but was I being myself? Like, was I delighted that they saw the performance of me I was being to try and fit into that space? And equally, when I take them out of this context, are they a good person in the rest of the world? Do they fit in with my friends, or were they just like a nice person in a weird environment?
Yeah. I really, really get that. I agree with that. And that kind of speaks true to, I mean, that's a funny story that I had, and it wasn't as deep as, you know, it wasn't a relationship per se. It was a funny story about just how silly you can get in your head about situations. But what you're saying rings so true, because it's like there's definitely that element of you feel that you're never invited in a certain space. Someone invites you in that space and you think, oh my God, yes, this is it. And you don't want to end up idolizing somebody as opposed to actually seeing them for who they are, you know, rather than it being like someone's actually accepted me, or this someone is accepting me, you know, is a bit of a difference. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up on that that deep note. Thank you so much. If people want to find your work, connect with you online, I mean, apparently them sliding into your DMs is the same access somebody that you're interested in gets. So who knows?
Listen, that's what I'm saying. My DMs are currently open. Yeah, find me on Twitter, Instagram, and even old school Facebook at the moment. Still there, all at MESEN, and yeah, you'll see all my latest projects there, and I'll be having some new stuff coming out very soon, you know, after the Edinburgh bubble. Got to get back into it, so yeah.
Love it. Cool. So we'll be back. Thank you. We'll be back behind the paywall in a minute. I've got some things to ask you about, no spoilers. All right, we'll be back in a sec. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.